Hey, welcome to the sermon series from Life Church Green Bay. It's our mission to bring the life-giving message of Jesus to the 920 and beyond. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time joining us, we want to do life with you. While you're listening, fill out the hello card on our website so we can connect with you. Visit lifechurchgreenbay.com/hello to fill it out. Make sure to check the I'm new here and online options while filling out the card. Again, we're so glad you're with us today. Here's this week's message.
So good morning. Let's go to our Bibles now. Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're going to start in chapter 1. We're starting a new series, as you saw, called Getting Through What You're Going Through. And this is going to be a series that we go through the study of 1 Corinthians. So if you're watching online, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. I love you, and I love that you guys. I'm so glad you're here with us as we are going in this new series. And we're going to be going through the book of 1 Corinthians was written by Paul, who was trying to help the people of Corinth get through what they're going through. And in essence, Paul's words and his scripture are going to help us get through what we're going through. Because the city of Corinth, it was the second city that Paul helped start a church in his second missionary journey. He lived there for about a year and a half. He was teaching the people the truth and the power of Jesus. And then God sent him away to start new churches and other places. And as he's on his third mission to Ephesus, he gets word that the church of Corinth isn't doing well. And if I had to put it in the simplest terms, I think the church of Corinth was kind of doing something like this.
Look at me. You can have fruit snacks, but you can't have them right now, okay?
You gotta wait.
You gotta wait until mommy and daddy come back, okay? You can't eat these yet. You gotta wait until we come back. I'm gonna leave them right here. Don't touch them. Wait, okay? We're gonna come back. Don't eat them yet. Don't eat them. We'll be right back. We just gotta go get something. Just go. Just wait a second.
Now, I wish the Church of Corinth only had a fruit snack problem. But we're going to get through this book. We're going to find out there's a couple of things. But the fact was, Paul knew how important the health of the church community was. Not just in Corinth, but beyond that. And we know that because we see in verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours. So Paul is writing to anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, because like the church of Corinth, I believe the church today is going through some similar things. I want to talk about that today in a message I'm calling Come Together. Can we pray again? Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you that we can continue to worship you in your word. But Lord, I pray, Lord, this would not just be good sayings, but that your word would come to life and it would challenge us. And I know for some of us, it's going to take us out of our comfort zone. But Lord, I pray in that we'd be obedient to your word. We'd be obedient to your direction. And because of that, you would do something in our lives that we didn't even think that was possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to actually start reading in verse 4. And if you haven't downloaded the Bible app yet, it's a great app. It's a free app. We didn't invent it. I know a couple weeks I said we invented it. I was very mistaken. It is a free app, though, that you can get. You can actually scan the QR code. And not only can you get any version or the devotions, but like all the notes and scriptures, you go to the More tab, go to events, Life Church Green Bay. Everything that I'm going to put on the screens is going to be there so you can follow along with that. But if you want like a physical Bible, if you're wanting a devotional, we have those for free. On your way out at our info center, we have free Bibles for you and also free devotionals. And if you're getting to the Word, if getting to the Bible is a new thing for you, I really highly suggest you get one of those devotionals. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 4, I'm reading the NIV. It says this: I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you agree with one another in what you say, and there will be no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me there is quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Christ crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, verse 17, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So there's events, I think, that happen in our life that will be forever sketched in our memory. Things that will go on that you can just go to it and you're taken back there. For me, there's a couple things. Like when I gave my life to Jesus in 1999, I remember where I was. I was at a summer camp. I remember who was speaking. It was Brett Allen. And I remember where I was sitting and when I went to the altar and when I was called to ministry. It's just in my head. I remember when I got married to Shelby. And it was in 2008. It was at a golf course because it was just prettier than the chapels they had in Vegas. It was just a great place. I remember my little brother was the ring bearer and he whined a lot. I remember seeing her in that dress and being blown away. I remember the first time I became a father and I was very emotional. I tried to hug the doctor and he kind of pushed me away like, uh-uh, buddy, we're not doing that. And I remember when I became a father again to twins. And the nurse tried to give me both babies at the same time. And I'm like, I'm not ready for that. And she goes, you better. You have twins now. And I'm trying to balance them together. And those are all great memories. But we also have memories that are not so great that are etched in our brains. Like for me, the first time I got food poisoning is in my head. I used to work as a janitor in Las Vegas and at a church that I went to. And I worked nights. And so on my way to work, I decided to go to KFC and get myself a little dinner. Little cheap dinner. I think it cost me like $4 back then. And I'm eating it. It's great. I'm at work. I'm vacuuming. I'm doing all these things. And all of a sudden, something weird happens in my stomach. Like a pain I've never felt before. I was nauseous, but at the same time, it felt like my ribs were being pushed. Like someone was on the inside just like pushing away. It was just a weird, very uncomfortable pain. So I go to the bathroom. And of course, I throw up. But as I look in, it's black. And I instantly go, I'm dying. I'm going to die. And so I go to my manager and said, I have to go home. I'm not feeling good. And as I'm going to him, it like hurts more and more. And I just remember going to the ground going, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to die. I know Jesus. I'll go to heaven. I mean, I was in pain. And so my manager calls my dad. He takes me to the ER and I find out that's what food poisoning does to you. And I didn't want that to ever happen again. So I remember in that moment, I said, all right, I'm done with fast food. And I was done with it for a little bit. But then you drive by them enough times and you're like, well, that's kind of good. And then I said, okay, I'm done with chicken. And that really didn't last long because I really love chicken. Like chicken is so good. And I said, all right, I'm done with KFC. That one's lasted pretty long. You know, I'm still kind of holding off on KFC. But something happened after that. Like it was hard for me to trust chicken again. Like to the point I'd cut into it. I'm like, that's kind of pink. I don't want that to happen again. I don't want to go through that moment again. Come on, can we put that back in the oven? Hey, can I return that? I mean, I was kind of nervous. I was kind of hesitant to go in the area, but I love chicken. I can have it every single day, but because of that moment, it was hard. And like food, I think of a lot of us, we've had either a bad experience or maybe we've heard of bad experiences when it comes to community. Especially church community, where we come in and maybe for some of you, you have left another church and come to this church and you're like, all right, cool. I don't want to have another bad moment. So when people high five you, you're like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, you know, we're like, hey, what's your name? And it's like, and you kind of lie. You're like, it's George, but your name's not George. You're like, oh, why did I say that? Oh gosh, that was so weird. And for some of us, We've gotten comfortable just checking in and checking out. Hey, I mean, I'm here, right, Pastor? I know there's a lot of people who were here last week that aren't here today. Isn't it good enough that I'm just here? But the reality is this, that God wants the church to be healthy. He wants the church to grow. And for it to be healthy and to grow, community is essential. And we see in Corinthians that the church is in a weird place where people are starting to get divided and go in different directions. And there's some people that maybe are thinking about, I don't know if I can be a part of this. I don't know if I can be going this direction. There's just some things that are keeping me being a part of this community. And I think Paul actually addresses some of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In fact, there's three things that Paul addresses that I think we use to keep us from being in community. Meaning there's three things that we've allowed to become this barrier that keeps us from doing life with other believers. So if you're taking notes, number one is this. I think a barrier that we can put in between us and community is guilt. Verse 4 says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. That word grace in the Greek is charis, which is unmerited or unearning favor, an unearned gift. It's a favor or a blessing bestowed as a gift, freely given, and you can't work or perform to get it. You have to remember, Paul is writing to 1 Corinthians because he heard they're messing up. He told them to do stuff and then went away and they stopped doing it. And for some of us, maybe we would have written this first chapter a little differently. Maybe we would have been like, what are you doing? Why are you acting like this? But I'm so glad that Paul does it different. He does the opposite of what I do. Right away, he addresses his thanksgiving and reminds them of the power of Jesus' grace, that unearned favor. Because Paul loved where they were, and Paul believed that they're going into great places, and God was doing life with them and in that community. And for some of us, guilt has really been the barrier for us because we've done things in our past, we've done things in our present where we're like, no, I can't be a part of this community of believers because if they knew what I've done, I mean, I'm glad that I came in and the church didn't burn down. And I know that's kind of funny, but some people like really believe that. Like I've seen people do this. Whew. Cool. Like it's this weird thing because guilt gets so heavy in our lives where we go, I'm not good enough. I can't be a part of this. I mean, if they find out, I have to be this nice Christian because if they find out the real me, they'll remove me from the building. If they knew what I've done, if they've known the sin I've had in my life, they'll kick me out. And I hate to break it to you, but no one here has invented a new sin that Jesus hasn't redeemed. Like Jesus has redeemed all sin. And he's not called you to live in guilt. He's called you to live in grace. And we see it in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus asks Matthew to come be a disciple. Matthew gets excited, so he has a party. In verse 10, it says, as Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Jesus and his followers. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' followers, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard them, he said, it's not the healthy people who need doctors, but the sick. See, Jesus didn't come for the healthy, but the sick. And that's why church is sometimes messy. I know you've heard it. Maybe you said it. Oh, church is full of hypocrites. Yes, because we're sick and we need Jesus. We're not whole and we need him because he's whole. So church, yes. Ooh, I don't like some of those people. Yeah, they're messy people. Some of you guys are barely saved. Like it's just a blessing that you're here, but you're still working out your salvation. It's still new. But here's what I want to tell you about a community of believers, especially when it comes to guilt. Number one is this, you're not alone. The enemy would love to tell you that you're the only one dealing with what you're dealing with. The reality is you're not. In fact, I guarantee there's probably 20 to 30 people who are dealing with the same thing. And also, his grace is more than enough. His grace
is strong. It covers all things. So he's not telling us to live in guilt. So don't let guilt be the reason that you don't join and be a part of a community of believers. Here's number two. I think insecurity keeps us from being a part of the community of believers. Verse 7 says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Paul had to remind the people that God had given them all different gifts and they're important. And the reason he had to say that is because what was happening in Corinth is some people was like, well, they have a great gift and I don't have a great gift, so I'm insignificant. But there is no insignificant gifts in the body of Christ. Like, all gifts are important. They're all necessary. And not only does Paul believe that, but Peter believes that. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all of your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. See, insecurity will tell us we have nothing to offer, but God tells us that he has a variety of gifts that he gives to everyone to bring glory to his name. Because that's what it's all about. We are bringing glory to his name and we're using our gifts to help others. So when we go, oh, I'm not good. No, no, you are, because I gave it to you, says the Lord. I gave you that gift. I love that the church is typically called the body of Christ in the Bible, because a body has many parts to do different things for it to grow in a healthy way. But insecurity will tell you, well, if the church is the body of Christ, then I'm probably like a toe. So like, I'm not important. No, a toe is important. They say if you didn't have a toe, you actually wouldn't be able to balance or have a stable walk. That's how important the toe is. And so you, if you are a toe, you're important to the body of Christ. Or maybe you might go, well, if I'm part of the body of Christ, then I'm probably, you know, I'm like a pinky. I just found this out. Do you know if you didn't have your pinky, you lose 50% of your hand strength? 50%. I was like, with a pinky, maybe 10%, maybe like 50, half of your hand strength is taken away because of a pinky. I don't think God did that on accident. I think he's trying to remind us when the enemy tries to tell you you're insignificant, that you're not good enough, that you have nothing to offer. God says, you have all to offer. In fact, for this church to grow in a healthy way and to reach the 920 and beyond, we need everyone coming together as one body with many gifts to do great things for him, to give him glory. So yeah, I'm a pinky, and I'm gonna be a pinky for him. Yeah, I'm a toe, but I'm gonna be a toe for him because he's given me a gift. You have to remember, we're called to be ligaments, not leprosy. You are not hurtful. You are helpful. Because we don't all talk the same. We don't think the same. We didn't grow up the same. And God loves that. He loves that you think differently than me, that you talk differently than me, that you come from a different background from me, because you will be able to reach people differently than I can. Oh, let pastors do that. Your friends won't talk to me. Especially when you say, hey, this is Pastor Dallas. They're like, I'm done. You brought your pastor? Like, so like sometimes I'm like, just tell him I'm Dallas. Just say I'm your friend. Like, what are we doing? Like, but you can, because God has given you a gift. And he doesn't want it just out there, he wants it in here so that we can grow and be healthy the way he's called us to be. Here's a third thing. Opinions, I think, can keep us from community. Verse 12, it says it. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another follow Apollos, Cephas, and I follow Christ. See, one of the major things that he addresses in chapter 1 is division in the church based on opinions and preference. Said people followed Paul because he knew the law. I'm a Paul guy, man. I like the law too. So me and Paul. It said people will follow Apollos because he was a good communicator. Oh, hey, can you tell me when Apollos is in town? Because that's when I'll come. Oh, is Paul? No, I don't want to come that week. Just tell me when Apollos is going to be there. People followed Cephas because he followed certain food laws. Which they're like, yeah, I want to. And then it said that people followed Christ because they wanted to be spiritual. So in essence, they were following the label of Christ just to be spiritual. And the problem with all those things is it takes the focus off Jesus. And that's why Paul has to bring it up. And did you notice when I was reading the scriptures how many times he brings up Lord Jesus? Like, it's not on accident. It's not because he has a stutter. No, he's like, you guys are focused on everything but Jesus. So everything is because of Jesus. And it wasn't just happening then, it's happening today. And I know this because some of you guys come to me and you say, hey, pastor, what's your opinion on blank? Hey, I wanna know your thoughts on this. And if it isn't Jesus, I don't really care about it. Too often we allow what we vote for, what side we're on, what things we're used to, what things we're comfortable to be the main thing, but Jesus needs to be the main thing. He has to be the focus. So I don't care who you voted for. I don't care what side you're on. Is Jesus the center of your life? Now, I know for some of us, we're like, that's, well, how do I do that? How do I make Jesus the center of my life? How do I make it so I stay in a community of believers where Jesus is the main thing? I think there's five things. Five things or five filters to keep us focused on Jesus, meaning five beliefs that will... we filter all of our thoughts and opinions through. It's number one is this. The Bible is the word of God. It says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do when we're right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people for every good work. This is more than a book. This is alive and active. And if you allow it, it will transform you from the inside out. Yes, there's things in this book for some of you right now. It's a hard saying. But if you allow it to speak into you and you listen to it and you start walking in it, and I know it takes you out of your comfort, but you start listening to it, it will transform your life. It will change it because it is God breathed. It's more than just a book. It's a manual. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the Bible. And that's why we need to do more than just read it. We need to study this word because the word is supposed to reveal his truth and not support our opinion. If your opinion contradicts with the word, it's not important. I'm just saying. If you're like, what does the Bible say about this? I don't know. What does it say? Well, I don't like what the Bible says. Then you shouldn't like that opinion. That you shouldn't like that preference. Then maybe you should walk away from that mindset because his word will reveal truth to us. And truth is more powerful than opinion. Here's number two. God is three in one. Last week we talked about Matthew chapter 28. He says, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I was reminded that the Trinity is such a sign of God's love. See, God loved us so much that he gave us his son so that his son could come and be the sacrifice for our sins and bring us in right standing with God again. And Jesus loved us so much that he said, I must go so the Holy Spirit can come. So the Holy Spirit could be in our lives and therefore the power and the wisdom and the glory of God could be living in us. One's not more important than the other, but they're all important and they're all necessary as we grow in our faith in him. So God is three in one. He's not just one God with two friends. He is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. Here's number three. Jesus is fully God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. How do we know that? Because last week he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So if he is not just, if he's just a man, if he's just a good teacher, if he's just a wise dude who did cool miracles, then he wouldn't have authority. But why does he have authority? Because he's 100% God. Number four, we are saved by faith. Ephesians says it, for by this loving favor you have been saved from the punishment of sin through faith. It is not by anything you have done. It is a gift of God. It's not given to you because you work for it. If you could work for it, you'd be proud. Again, we don't earn our salvation. We don't work for our salvation. We work out our salvation, but we work it out with fear and trembling, and we get that through faith. Faith is a requirement. It's the key. And we know we have faith because we go, God, do I love you? God, do I want to do what your word says, even when it's hard? God, do I love your people? When we know that, that means there's a spark of faith in us that he wants to grow and mature on the inside out. But we can't earn our salvation. We can't work for our salvation. We can't be the best version of Jesus. We have to walk in faith and in surrender. And here's number five. There is life after death. John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? And I believe he's saying to us, do you believe this? Do you believe there's life after death? Do you believe that life on earth is not the end, but it's just the beginning? Because when we start believing that, you'll start to see that life on earth is such a speck in comparison to eternity. And so he's saying, when it comes to life on earth, not meaning you have to reject it or turn your back on it, but when it comes to eternity, it's so small. And so our focus shouldn't be on what should I do tomorrow. No, God, I thank you for another day that I could do something to glorify your name and to show others to you, because eternity is coming. And I don't want to just live for this earth. I want to live beyond this earth. So when we filter our thoughts and opinions through these truths, it will show us what's worth our time and what's not. It will show us what are we putting too much information into. So when you see those videos and someone says, Christians, listen to what I have to say, ask yourself, did he find that in the Bible? Does it contradict that God is three in one, that Jesus is Lord, that we are saved by faith, that we have salvation after, that we have life after here on earth? If it does contradict all those things, then you need to block that. You remove that, because he needs us to walk in these truths. And if we are a community of believers who walk in the same truths, God can do amazing things because we are like-minded. I want to close with this. I want to close with an illustration that I actually forgot. So just use your imagination. If you come next service, I will have them. But I just realized I forgot the illustration I wanted to use. A couple weeks ago, our senior pastor, Pastor Sean, did this prayer where he said, if you need a miracle in your life, raise your hand. And like hands raised all over. It was amazing. Probably the most hands we've seen for this second prayer ever. And so because of that, our lead pastor, Pastor Sonny, comes up and says, hey, I don't want you to just raise your hand. I want you to write down that miracle. And so we didn't have paper. We do have cards now that you can take notes on, but everyone just did it on the tithe envelopes. And so they put them and they brought them to the altar. And then that week, the team just grabbed them all together and they started reading them. And what we found out is that huge pile of miracles, we could actually break down into four piles. Four things that are the same, which shows me how important miracles and being in community is, and that God has not called you to live life alone. Because maybe the names were different, maybe the way that it was written was different, but they were all the same needs. And that's why we need to come together. That's why we can't just check in and check out, because some of you have a story that's going to help someone with what they're going through. Some of you have a testimony that will be the life preserver to help them go, okay, I shouldn't give up. I shouldn't quit, because they had a story that helped me with my story. Some of you have a scripture or a word from God that has carried you out of addiction, out of pain, and people go, I need that. I need that word for my life. And we only find that in community. I don't have enough time to have everyone come up and give their testimony and give. No, it happens in community. It happens going beyond Sunday. That's why we have opportunities for you to serve, not just to do a job, but to be a part of something. But in that, you get to be around like-minded people doing like-minded things. And we get to build the body of Christ together. But we even go beyond that. We have our Bible studies with the women's on Monday, 7 o'clock here at the church. Tuesdays, men, 7 o'clock here at the church. Wednesdays, we have our youth service. Thursdays, young adults, where they're getting together, they're being like-minded, they're learning the word together. And I wish it was just that. That's just what's happening in the building. We have so many things outside the building. groups that you go on our website, be a part of. Why? Because God wants you to be a part of a community of believers. They'll help you from where you are to where He wants you to be. He doesn't want you to quit on your family. He doesn't want you to quit on your marriage. He's going to put you with people who almost quit on their marriage, who almost quit on their kids, and go, if they can't quit, why am I trying to quit? God wants to build you in your faith. So when the enemy comes and tries to tempt you with things, no. He, see, you tried that on my homie a couple months ago, and he told me that he did this, and the devil flees, so I ain't going to listen to that. God doesn't want you to go back to that addiction. He doesn't want you to go back to that lifestyle. He doesn't want you to live alone. There are people to your left and your right who are going through the same things you are. And you just need to know it. And you just need to hear it. And that happens when we go beyond just attending and we start doing life together. Can I pray with you? Here's what I love about salvation. Salvation is the source to freedom. See, yes, God came and he created man, but man disobeyed and brought sin into the world. And because he's a perfect God, sin separated us. But he loved us so much that he gave us his son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And it's more than just saying, I believe. It's surrendering to that Savior. Because even the demons believe, the Bible says. So salvation is saying, I want to do more than just say it. I want to surrender to it. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. Lord meaning I'm giving him control, and Savior meaning I want him to come my life and help me not to live in shame anymore. So church, we're going to do one of two things. If you're in here with everyone's head bowed, eyes closed, why? Because I want you to have a moment with God where you say, God, am I right with you? If I were to die today, would I be with you for eternity? And if I'm not sure, I want to make that right now. We're going to do one of two things. I'm just going to have you raise your hand, look at me, and then we're going to say a prayer together. So if that's you and you're saying, I want to get right with Jesus. I want him to be my Lord and Savior. I want him to be in my life. Can I just have you raise your hand real quick, look at me? Thank you. 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 Anyone else? Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Can we say this prayer together, everyone? Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me of all my sins. I welcome you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that for the first time, we want to help you. In fact, if you could just fill out the hello card real quick, put as much information you come with, check your choosing to follow Jesus. You could do it digitally right now too. Here's the thing, we want to help you on that. We want to help you go forward. I want to pray for you one more time. You don't have to bow your heads, but if you're in here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I'm really feeling like I need to stop just attending. Like, I need to be a part of this community because I've been hoping that if I just walk in, that's enough, but it hasn't been enough. And I need to be surrounded by some like-minded people. If that's you, can I just raise your hand real quick so I can pray with you? So, Lord, I thank you for these hands who are going to begin to do new things for you. And I thank you, Lord, that they're not going to be just people who attend anymore. They're not going to be people just show up and walk in and walk out, but they're going to be a part of people who are going to help them from where they are to where you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. Follow our other podcasts so you can be updated when new episodes are released. We have a wide variety of podcasts to choose from. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week.